Welcome to Small Business Big Network, the podcast for small business owners who want big results from their networking. I'm Liz Drury, a freelance voiceover artist who knows that if you're not working, then networking could help. Anna Thelman is a sexual intimacy counsellor. As you'll hear from our conversation, she's based in quite a far-flung part of the world at the moment, but she's still managing to do both in-person and online networking. Please be aware that in today's episode, we talk about some topics of an adult nature. Thank you very much for being my guest on the podcast today, Anna.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Liz. I'm very excited to have this chat with you.
Now, before we start, just tell us whereabouts in the world you are and how you ended up there.
Well, I'm in China, in the north of China, to be more precise, in Xinjiang. Probably you never heard about it, but this little place has 9 million people. And we lived in England before, in Chichester at the time, and my partner got the job offer to work here in China, in Xinjiang. And at the time, of course, I wanted to be with him, but for me, it was so important to make that conscious decision to give everything up that I had in England and come to China with him. Because I wanted to avoid this idea of, at one point when it's not working out for me the way I imagined it would be, that I could blame him. Mm-hmm, I never wanted to have that feeling. So I thought, no, I make the decision for myself. And I did. And here we are, almost 5 years later. Yeah.
So if you moved there 5 years ago, you must have been there during the pandemic. How was that?
It was. We arrived literally 3 months before it started, because here in China, it started on the 24th of January in 2020. And at the time, it was Chinese New Year, and we went to Harbin, the ice city. You might have heard about it. And we wanted to spend a couple of days there and then go to do some skating, or not skating, snowboarding, actually. When we got the call saying, you have to come back to Xinjiang, everything will go into lockdown. You just need to pack, come straight back. Xinjiang will be closed within the next 24 hours. Wow. So it was weird, because we traveled by train first, and then we switched to the car. But on the train, when we walked out of the train station, there was this police officer and holding up this temperature guns, like we call them here. So measuring our temperature, and it's like, well, what is going on? What is this? And we quickly went to buy some food, some groceries, came home, and then we went into lockdown for, I think, 3 weeks for the first time. Yeah. And that was, well, honestly, I enjoyed it because I had some time with my partner. So we made the best out of it. And we weren't allowed to go to the park or anything, just within our compound, which was okay. But for me personally, I enjoyed it because I had the time with my partner, and because we could just enjoy ourselves together a little bit longer.
Yeah. So tell me about your career now, your career so far. I had a look at your LinkedIn profile, and I can see you've got qualifications in psychology and HR management. So what? Tell me about your career path.
Well, my career path, it's I'm one of those ladies or people, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grow old. Yeah. And I remember my dad telling me, why can't you just be a bit more like your siblings? Because they knew what they wanted to do. They knew what path to walk, what qualifications to get. And I was more like, but I don't know. I don't know. So I did whatever felt okay and right at the time. So I started working and doing my qualification in Germany. We call it Industriekauffrau. What that means is you work in an office and you literally know how to describe it. It's like an assistant, but more in depth. So you could work in logistics and have an idea how logistics works, and help work actively in that field. It's a bit difficult for me to describe it, because I actually never worked in it. I just did the qualification because I was working. I was lucky that I had people who gave me the chance to work with them in their business without me having the qualification. But I still did it because I always had this idea from my parents, the qualification that you have, no one can take that away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I got that qualification. And with that, when I moved to England, it helped me to get a job there quite quickly within 6 weeks. But I was still in that phase where it was like, yeah, I know I can do this. It's not really what I want to do, but mm-hmm. I'm good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same for the couple of jobs. I was a web designer. I was a rental car officer. I drove big cars, lorries around. So I did many different things because it was just like, let's try this. Let's try this. And at the time I was 29 and it was still the same. I didn't know where's my passion, what I want to find it, what people talk about this. Mm. Oh my God, I love this. And it's amazing. And so it's, when will I get that? So I was a bit probably desperate, but nevertheless, I just wanted to walk my way wherever that takes me. And I was lucky with all the experience I got from these different jobs that I had. I got a good job at a corporation as a team assistant, and they wanted someone who knows web design, who knows car management, etc., etc. And it's like, I'm here, guys. Take me. I know all of this. So that was amazing. That was my step into that path, but not in the obvious way, because only when I became the personal assistant to the director and I wanted to do improvements because at the time the rest areas were a bit dull, and I asked, can I just color them up? Because I want the people, when they have their break, to have something nice to look at and enjoy their breaks. Can I color them up? And he said, why don't you get the apprentices in? He said, okay, I do that. And I started with the apprentices, the Color Up Your Plant project. And that was the start when I discovered how much I enjoy sharing my knowledge, guiding, and literally standing in the background and just asking questions and then seeing them, how they get to the ideas, the results, and grow from there. That was for me like a light bulb. And I walked to my manager's office and I said, I got it. I know now what I want to do. And I don't know how to do it, but I know what it is. So I will walk the path. And that's when I started to do the psychology studies, because that in my head, to my knowledge at the time, that made sense. It was behavior. It was some bit of training, learning and development. There was, in my head, it just made sense. So I started studying that. I never finished it because I've noticed it's not that right path. It's mm-hmm. it's okay. It's great to have the knowledge, but I found out that learning and development is more the direction that I want to go into. And that's what brought us then to the HR management, because it starts with learning and development and my, how do you call it? My focus slide on learning and development.
Mm.
Doing the studies. So that was always my go-to. And that was where I thought, this is amazing. And I was so fascinated by how the mind works and how people receive information and how they give information, how they create ideas, etc., that I stepped onto NLP. And I was like, oh my God, this is a different world. So amazing. Let's do this. So I did that. And it seemed like the more I learned, the more questions came up.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere out of the blue, I got a new theory, a new methodology that answered this question. Of course, there were then more questions, but it just came one after the other. And eventually I moved jobs. I became an apprenticeship coach at the local college. And I remember coming home saying to my partner, this is it. I found it. This is the ultimate. This is what I want to do. And I did my coaching qualification. I tried to stay up to date and become a master in it to just do this. And when we came to China, I didn't get a job as a coach because you need to get the visa, and no company around offered a visa for coaches because it wasn't anything that is very familiar here with. So I started as an English teacher. I got that qualification before we arrived. That was amazing because it gave me the opportunity being here, seeing how much I miss the coaching, see how much I wanted to do it. And then China said, or the government had this offer that if you're here, you can set up your own business as a foreigner. And for me, that was like, I have no idea how to run a business. I don't have any clue. But I know I want to do that. I want to coach. I want to help people with their mind, with their mindset, with how they see themselves and others. And so, I jumped ice cold water.
It's a fascinating journey, but it seems you've always been drawn to, you've been fascinated by people and how people work, really, and how they work together. So I know what you specialize in now is relationships and intimate relationships. How did you, what made you decide to specialize in that?
It wasn't a decision that I choose. I mean, of course, when you have your own business, and particularly as a service-based business, people say you have to niche down. You have to know your customers very specifically. And I struggled with that. I knew I want them to accept themselves. That was my overarching idea. But the niche down literally happened one morning coming out of and thinking, tools, they work so amazingly in every other area of my client's life. Why wouldn't they work in the bedroom? And I myself had this idea, limiting belief in my head. When I masturbate, I need to have a big, bold fantasy. And every time that fantasy just got disrupted by a different thought, I was panicking. And masturbation, that orgasm, wasn't the happy moment that I, or that it should be. And I thought, let's try these tools and see if it works. And it did. And for me, that was like, oh my God, I have to tell women this. I have to tell them that you can have your orgasm back and I can help you because I can help work with your mind. And that was my niche found. It found me, I would say.
Yeah. So how long ago was that? How long have you been running this business now?
The business started, let me think, February 2021. So we're in business now for 3 years.
Yeah. And how's it going? Yes. How's business going?
It's interesting. As soon as I found my niche, or as the niche found me, I was so clear in my head and I was confident to walk out into the world and tell people, this is what I do. And with that also came that I had the courage and the confidence to go to the local hospitals, say, guys, here I am. This is what I do. This is how I can help. Do you want to work with me as B2B? And they said yes, without big questions. And they said, yes, we need that. We have so many people here who need your help. Let's do that. So I'm working with two international hospitals to help their clients with their emotional support. And I have my international clients that I work on with my program. So I would say it's working amazingly, but just because I found my way, I found my niche that calmed me down massively. Mm-hmm. And I've grown as a business owner to just step back and relax and know that everything will be okay. So letting go of that desperation for things to happen right now. And if they don't, you panic and doubt yourself. So that was a big, big step for me.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So presumably your international clients, you're working with them online. So tell me about the kind of programs that you run.
So I run only one program. It's called the Intimacy Acceleration. And what we basically do is we rebuild the foundation of your relationship. You learn to create healthy relationship habits and you learn to accept who you are, because I'm a firm believer that it takes two to tango, but it takes one to start. So when you work on yourself, you will see that your partner will mirror your behavior. You don't need your partner to be actively involved in your growth and in the change of your relationship. It needs one person, and that can be you. So I help my clients to do exactly that, to work on themselves, see where is their thought pattern that might not be very helpful, and what brought them into the situation that they now come and want to change and want to save their relationship. And my program is 6 months, because I believe that the first 3 months you do a lot of firefighting and you see big changes happening. And what we humans love to do is, as soon as we have success, we let it slide. Yeah. I mean, that's why we have these yo-yo diets, and it's like up and down. So that's why I want them to stay for another 3 months. So the firefighting is done, your body is calm, your mind is calm, and now we can focus on you, on what is it that you need to support yourself in the future to keep that relationship on the level that you have it right now. And what do you need? So if let's say shit hits the fan, what do you need to walk through it with a clear head and without breaking down?
And are your clients all female, or do you work with men as well?
I work with men as well. I also work with couples. So particularly in China, I have a couple of couples that I work with. But even when we work, or when I work with the couples, I tell them I want to see each individually. Mm-hmm. And then every couple of weeks, every 3 weeks, usually we come together, and then it's the three of us. And then we talk about the couple issue or problem or what they want to discuss. But again, for me, it's important that each of them also works on themselves.
Yeah. So let's talk about networking. How do you network for your business? I'm presuming that you must do a lot online if you've got international clients.
Yes, I do most of my networking online. However, I just became a member at the Rotary Club, if that means anything to you. And because we have one here in Shenyang, and I was looking for this person, in-person connection. And that's the only one that I know of that is locally and that is run, or where they speak English. Mm-hmm. My Chinese isn't as that good, so that I could join any Chinese networking. But yeah, most of it is done internationally or online. And I mainly do that with Australia, because that's amazing for my time zone.
Yeah. And how do you find the networking? Is it working for your business?
The thing is, I didn't get any clients through the networking, in the sense of that someone referred someone to me and they became a client. But what it helped me massively with is to meet people, to be on podcasts, to write articles, to spread the word, to give presentations, to go to events and talk about different topics that I teach on. So in that sense, networking, amazing, if you have a niche that isn't a B2B niche.
And what do you find people's reaction is when you tell them what you do? Because what you do, as we've said, is very niche.
It depends. So I've been called crazy and that I will rot in hell and Judgment Day will be not very positive for me. So we have those. But particularly when I'm in networking meetings and we go into breakout rooms, you can feel that some people, men and women, particularly when they have a relationship that they are not happy with, they want to talk about it. They open up, they share their story with me. And it's not just when we are one-on-one, but also when we are more in a group. And there are these people who really want to talk about it. And I have that very often when I'm in these breakout rooms, that we talk not about what I do per se, but what they want to share about the topic that I work on.
Yeah, I can imagine that people will find that really interesting, because in a networking meetings, we meet a lot of the same kind of people. And it's great when there's someone in the room who does something different, and people tend to gravitate towards them because they want to know more about it.
Yeah, but the thing is, no one wants to know anything about me. It's all about, like, let me tell you my story. Okay, share your story. And I really enjoy it, because I know that if you haven't spoken about it and you are in an unhappy relationship, it can change your day. It might even change your relationship when you have the courage to tell someone. Mm. So I see it as there is a lot of trust that I get from these people who open up to me, who want to share their story with me.
So what kind of networking do you enjoy? Obviously, you're doing both. You're doing the in-person and you're doing the online. Do you have a preference for one or the other?
Well, the in-person one, that's in the evening and it's food and drinks. So that's always amazing.
Yeah, that was helps.
On the other hand, for the on... yeah. But for the online one, it's very handy. It's convenient. I don't have to get dressed or I don't have to go out. I mm-hmm. can just do them here in my office on my laptop and that's it. And when we finish, then I can go my way. So there isn't a preference really. I enjoy both of them, but what I enjoy is the format of the networking events, because those that I'm in right now, they all have different formats, which I enjoy because it's not the same every time.
Yeah, it's good to have some variety, isn't it? So my final question to you, Anna, if people want to find out more about you and about the services that you offer, what is the best place for them to find you and contact you?
The best way is to find me on my website, because that's where everything is on there. The program, myself, how you can connect with me, where you can find me, free material, everything is on there. And that's annathelman.com.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much. It's been fascinating talking to you. And you're the first person based out in China that I've had on the show. So thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Liz.
Thanks for listening to Small Business Big Network. If you found this podcast useful, please do rate, review, and subscribe. And don't forget to share it with the rest of your network too.